when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I hope none of you stay too long with the water cooler or the coffee pot because we're back. We're having my precious little sister, the Braveheart, the bravest Braveheart I know, Monica Schaefer's coming on. If you will, like we said in the first hour, please pray for Monica because I think the ghost of Genrikh Yagoda has arisen from the grave. Genrikh Yagoda, in case you don't know who he is, he was a good Jew. And he was, according to Israeli sources, he was responsible for killing, supposedly, Hitler and the Nazi, evil Nazis, supposedly killed 6 million. Well, Genrikh Yagoda, just one man in the Cheka, in the Soviet Union, he is accredited for killing 10 million, just himself. And there's other, the Cheka, the concentration camps in the Soviet Union, all 400 of them were totally 100% Jewish run. That's a fact. But we won't want Genrikh Yagoda's ghost and all these other thugs, KGB, etc. We don't want them harassing our baby sister. So keep her in her prayers. And with that, we got Sister Monica Braveheart on right now. She's taking over this hour right here, folks. And I'm so glad she's here. Give them hell tonight, little sister.
Okay, Eddie, let's go. Yeah, so, yeah, I have a few things to talk about, but also just want to start out by saying it is really do or die time, and I did catch your last half of the first hour with Ran, and that was excellent. Basically, you know, saying it from the mountaintop that everybody must do something, and everybody really can use your own imaginations and your own heads to decide what that will be. It's going to be different for different folks, but you see, the people who want us gone and want us destroyed, and you know, they want us enslaved, or most of us, they want most of us dead and the rest enslaved, that's our enemy, and they are not going to stop. We must just stop them. I mean, and that will take different forms. And one of the things I will tell you about is an encounter I had yesterday evening meeting an incredible woman who has done amazing things these last 3 years during, you know, lockdown times and during these insane times. And she has had great successes. So I would like to talk about that because you are always wanting to present solutions or give ideas and inspire people for solutions. And so I will talk about that. I'd also like to touch upon, you know, some of the feedback I've had from folks about my actions last week when I actually had a conversation for 2.5 hours with that, you know, the hate squad, the BC hate crimes unit of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who came to visit me Friday, September 1st, and I spoke about that last Saturday. And so, you know, I decided to engage with them and actually have a conversation with them like human being to human being. Many people felt that I erred in my judgment, but I get that, those points that people are making, but I decided to do that and I do not regret it, and I stand by what I did. And we could talk about that some more too, Eddie. And I did follow up with I wrote them an email And I just published that yesterday on my website, and I would encourage people to go read it. It's at freespeechmonica.com. I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but I did spend a bit of time on that letter, and I think it's a pretty strong letter that I wrote to them. So it's the latest article on my blog, freespeechmonica.com. And I sent that to them last Sunday, and I basically made it public yesterday by publishing it. And I haven't gotten anything back from them other than an automated response and, you know, a feel-good response about, if anybody, you know, detects a hate crime, you know, we will keep you safe and whatever, something like that, ridiculous. I haven't heard back from these guys in a, you know, they haven't written something back. Okay, so... And we can talk also about the fact, I mean, I will reiterate, Alfred is in jail for doing a gesture, and he did this gesture, which is known as the Roman salute. A straight arm gesture at a certain angle is apparently very, very dangerous. It does
yes,
say,
it
does actually say, I come in peace and friendship. Then it was really demonized because this was then became known as the Hitler salute. And this was in jail 2 years ago when Alfred was in jail in the courtyard. And as he was doing this gesture, he was there with another prisoner walking around in the courtyard. And the guard, you know, shouted something about Hitler salute. And the other prisoner immediately said, no, he's just showing me how high his dog Pavlov can jump, which really is just such an excellent meme that just, you know, everybody knows about Pavlov, that psychologist or whatever he was that did these experiments. Just to remind, if anybody doesn't know what that was about, the experiment with a dog, the bell, the food, and the drooling dog because of the food. And then after a while, the food did not even have to be presented. Just the ring of the bell would cause the dog to drool. This is a conditioned response. I think it maybe is good to rearticulate what that actually was, that Pavlovian experiment. And Pavlovian because the guy's name was Pavlov. And these are conditioned responses that people have to certain symbols, certain weaponized words. It is meant to shut down our capacity to think straight. So really what we have to do is cleanse ourselves of these conditioned responses. And that's another thing we could talk about too, these weaponized language, weaponized words and symbols. So, okay, I gave a little bit of an overview there, and I'll just pause to take a breath. Eddie, go ahead. And yeah.
Well, I would just like to come back and reiterate that we're all really happy that you didn't disappear into the gulag, you know, and I don't want to add power, give these people suggestions down there that are running the Cheka in Canada. But that could happen to any of us, like we pointed out. Well, it's like Nancy said last week, I think you're probably a little ahead. First, Canada was greatly ahead of the United States, probably 10 years. But you know what? We're getting pretty close to catching up with Canada in the police state. When I say catching up, probably sinking. I should have probably said sinking down into a police state. Because I think I talked to Sister Braveheart on the phone the other day and told her this. You know, we have legislation in Florida, and it's like a level 3, class 3 felony in Florida now. And we talked about this last week, to pass out leaflets. And even though their Supreme Court has ruled on this, according to Mike Weaver, he's works with a lawyer, pretty sharp. He told us that they have looked into that, him and his lawyer. And the Supreme Court has said that you can go on private property, even being from door to door in cities like I live, and distribute pamphlets, leaflets, you know, church pamphlets, church leaflets, political leaflets. They will try to intimidate you sometimes, the police, but you have a right to do that. But we talked about this. Don't want to get too long about it. I don't want to repeat myself too much. DeSantis down there in Florida, I went over, and we said this 100 times, but you can't say it too much. He went to Israel, his Israel buddies, the the Jews, excuse me, the devil's officer corps, the Jew, he went over there to sign this legislation in Israel with all those Christ-hating Jews, the ones that killed Christ, the ones that said, give us Barabbas, the people that the Southern Baptist Church worshipped, and they'll never wake up. But that's a side trail, but it's true. And now in Tennessee, a lot of people don't know, it has even forgotten, even I forgot myself. Gene and I talked about this on the radio probably a year ago, a year and a half time. You know how time flies. The stinking governor here in the state of Tennessee, the same governor that did an end run around the law and went in and dug up graves in what used to be Forest Park, dug up their grave, tore down a statue of General Forrest that had cost, in today's money, several $1 million. They dug up Confederate Park. They dug up Jefferson Davis Park all here in Memphis. Those are the same people that we're fighting against now, Monica. The same people that are harassing you up there. But Rand just texted me and said, believe it or not, Rand sent me a text. I kind of temporarily lost my train of thought. But that's who we're fighting. The same people that are harassing you, the same people that harassed us, are the same people that slipped this law in the state. And that's what I'm going to say. This governor in the state of Tennessee, they have a law. It was passed law of the legislature, but it has not been mentioned. I'm really curious because, see, they could resurrect that. Well, they would have to resurrect it. They could use that law anytime they want to come get people like us on Blood River Radio, but they're always after you. And, Sister Braveheart, I hear the music. Right after this this quick commercial break, we'll go right back to you, Sister Monica. Be right back, folks.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, that's what we were talking about earlier. Talk about your Constitution, your Federalist Papers, your Declaration of Independence, your Magna Carta. I know we're repeating myself, but it bears repeating. All that is just a bunch of crap unless you put... If it's backed up by, it has to be backed up by force. And with that, we're going to go in. Sister Braveheart wants to talk about, we segued into some
about Florida. about Florida.
Felony legislation passed in Florida. So go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Yes, you were talking about these leaflets and these this law that was signed into being in Israel, but it's for Florida. Is one of the things that I was talking to the hate squad about was some things that are happening in the courts in Germany, for example, and also I talked about the pamphleteering being criminalized in Florida. In both cases, they said things like, oh, well, this is Canada, implying that these things don't happen here. So about the Florida, you know, this is Canada, these things don't happen here, I suggested to them in the follow-up letter that actually the very existence of a hate crimes unit in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police is very much comparable to, criminalizing pamphleteering in Florida. It's I suppose you could argue it's a little bit different, but basically it has the same end goal, the same effect. It's to not allow you to point out facts and truth, because in the Florida case, well, it's pamphlets. And in my case here, the hate squad came after me for stuff on a website and an anonymous complaint about stuff on a website. So it's words on pamphlets or it's words on a website. And I really do think that just the very existence of a hate crimes unit, it's very Orwellian, is it not? Eddie, what do you think about that?
No doubt. Yes, it is. You've got that right. You nailed them there. The very fact they came to your place was disturbing, and you said it took them all day. It was a day's trip there. In fact, it was so far up there they had to get a hotel room that night before they went back the next day.
That's right.
I agree with Sister Nancy, and they didn't just come up there for nothing, you know. And I don't even know if they came just to intimidate you, but it's not good. And I'm still praying for you. I really am, but.
Anyway,
yeah, that's why they call you Braveheart.
I don't know. I don't think of it that way. Once you've gone down, like you take this road and you actually get energized by taking actions. So back to, you know, Ran in the first hour saying that, hey, we got to do things. We got to do something. Like when you start acting, when you start doing things, when you start actually moving and doing things, you get energized by it and you get uplifted by it, and it just propels you forward. So that's just an aside, Eddie. But anyway, I also did talk to them about how it was in Germany and that they don't allow evidence in the trials and all that. I think they might have been surprised by that. I don't know. I also informed them what the judge said at the end of Ernst Zundel's trial in Germany in 2007, and this was widely reported in the mainstream media. The judge actually said at the end of that lengthy trial, he said, it matters not if the Holocaust happened or not. What matters is that it is against the law to dispute it, and you broke the law. And then, you know, he slammed him with the maximum 5-year in prison penalty. And then they, again, in that case, they also said, oh, well, this is Canada, that doesn't happen here. But I neglected to tell them at that moment, but was reminded later on by a good friend. And that's one of the things I wrote in that letter. I said, well, okay, in Canada, at the end of Ernst Zundel's Canadian trial in 1988, the judge said, the truth is no defense. Now, he may have said it in a few more words, like the truth in it is not a line of defense in this case. That became quite a famous remark, or infamous remark, by a judge in a Canadian courtroom. That was in Toronto, Canada. So, yes, indeed, this is Canada, folks. And that was decades ago, to boot, you see. So, I don't know if these guys in the hate crimes unit... Oh, by the way, I should tell you something else about them. This is something I learned subsequently. It's a bunch of letters under the name on the business card that the one fellow gave me, Corporal Elvis Musinovic, and underneath his name says NCO I/C BC hate crimes. And what does all that stand for? Non-commissioned officer in charge BC hate crimes. Now, what my friend explained to me, and she's married to a retired RCMP member, she explained non-commissioned officer, there are people who get into high positions within this institution called the Royal Canadian Mounted Police that may never have done a day of policing in their life, in their lives. They are not actually commissioned police officer, yet this guy is in this hate squad of the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in Canada. How does that work? How, you know, you would think that people have to work their way through the ranks to get into positions, but here's this guy, he's a non-commissioned officer in charge of hate crimes. Wow. Okay, anyway, I don't know if that's relevant.
He's probably a Jew.
No, I asked them. I asked them, and I believed them when they answered me that they were not. And the younger
That's right.
Yeah, the younger fellow was very definitely, he did not at all look Jewish. You know, he looked more Irish or something. But anyway, the other fellow, I don't know if he's lying or not. I mean, I don't know that, but I asked them that and I believed them that they were not Jewish. But yeah, so I was going to go somewhere else with this, but I'll just hand it to you. And when I get my train of thought back.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say you lost your train of thought because, you know what, and this is an aside, but I called Rand today right before we went on the air. I said, you know what, Rand, we had one of the best shows, I think it was Wednesday, that we have ever had. Too bad we didn't record it. I said, can you remember what we talked about? I said, because I must be getting old. I forgot about most of all these stuff. He said, well, he said, I can't remember one friggin' thing we talked about. We should have been taking notes, but it happens to everybody. If you're like me, I'm sitting here watching text messages come in. I was trying to get into my email account, which has been shut down, my Hotmail account. I don't know how I'm going to get into that because I wanted to put this, what I'm getting ready to go to, on a bigger screen. But before I read some of the stuff to the people that got our brethren in trouble down in Florida for handing out these pamphlets, here's the thing. It all ties in together. Our brother Alfred, Germany, our other brothers in Austria and Germany, wherever they've been locked up for spreading hate and for spreading not lies, like Sister Monica said, they're not accused of spreading lies or trying to spread hatred or trying to stir up a rebellion against the government. They're accused of violating of the official dogma, the established dogma of what happened to the Holocaust, what happened to the Jews, the First World War, who owns the media. So that's the crime. These people, these Jews, these stinking Satan worshiping Jews, they're like cockroaches. And that's saying it lightly. They can't stand light, especially bright sunlight. But, you know, even a bright light bulb on cockroaches, have you ever gone in? They said there's nothing faster than a cockroach. If you've ever gone into a kitchen at night, flipped on the switch, those stinking cockroaches, I mean, if they were humans, they could be going 150 miles an hour. They hate the light. And believe it or not, I'm getting to a point. It says so in Romans that it says that, I think it was Romans, but I'll paraphrase it. It says that the light came into the world, the light being Jesus Christ, but men hated the light. They feared the light. They loved darkness. And he came into his own. And guess who his own were, people? They were the precious Jews that we must worship. He came into his own. But guess what? Scripture says, but his own received him not. So he went to the others who were not his own. And it says that they, the alternate people, and people who receive him, they become sons, they can become sons of God. Well, getting back to what we're talking about, they hate the truth. They'll do anything to keep it squashed out. Sister Monica just talked about the hellish price that Ernst Zundel had to pay. I can't believe the music coming up already. People, I'll get right back. Believe it or not, I'm going to get to that point in some of these flowers as soon as we come back. Be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. The Georgia Special Grand Jury's report on the investigation into former President Trump has been released to the public. The report discloses that the grand jury proposed charges against South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, as well as two former GOP Georgia senators and over a dozen others who ultimately weren't indicted. The Fulton County Grand Jury's determinations led to the indictment of Trump and 18 others on charges of felony racketeering and conspiracy. More than 1,000 lives have been lost and hundreds have been injured in the aftermath of an earthquake that rocked Morocco, according to the BBC's Charlotte Winfield.
There's reports that buildings in Marrakesh's old city have been destroyed, and one family was trapped in the rubble of a collapsed house.
The nation's interior ministry revised the death toll Saturday following the 6.8 magnitude tremor that struck on Friday night. It was the strongest earthquake to hit the North African country in over 100 years. The Biden administration overstepped its authority to censor COVID-19 content. That's according to a ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals.
In Friday's 75-page ruling, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans said the Biden administration ran afoul of the First Amendment in trying to pressure social media platforms over controversial content. It stated that the president, CDC, FBI, and Surgeon General cannot coerce the companies to remove content that it deems problematic. The ruling comes after a lawsuit filed in Louisiana accused the Biden administration of threatening Twitter and Facebook with antitrust lawsuits or changes to federal law that protect their liability and the silencing of conservative voices. The administration has 10 days to seek a review by the Supreme Court. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Nancy Pelosi, the former House Speaker, has announced she's running for re-election. The California Democrat made her official announcement on Friday, confirming her intent to seek another term in 2024. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Precious Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for being our friends. Thank you so much for loving us like we love you. I'm here with two of our best people on earth, Miss Lizzie, man. She is a pro, and my sister, Braveheart, the one and only Sister Braveheart. We're going to go right back to her. She has a very interesting story I'd like to hear as much as you would like to hear. So go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Yeah, before I get into this story about this woman who basically did some things single-handedly that were very, very powerful, on that note of our resistance, that we need to do something, and I really enjoyed the first hour, the parts I heard anyway with Ran, and that, you know, we have to do something. Yes, we do. I will say that we don't necessarily... we can't wait for there to be organization. And yes, Ran is right. We need to organize. We need to organize because our enemy is extremely organized. However, in the absence of organization, and let it be said that, you know, organizations tend to be infiltrated by our very enemy.
Bingo.
There is such a thing as leaderless resistance. And so we, and also you could... each of us can consider ourselves an army of one, and that we have to act. I know Jim Rizzoli likes to say, you know, an army of one. I am an army of one, and as long as I can, I'll do as much as I can while I can. So that is an excellent Bingo. Attitude to take. Of course, it would be really nice and good to be extremely organized. However, that could take a while. And in the meantime, we just need to engage in leaderless resistance. If you are that leader that can organize, then do so. Always taking great care that you don't get infiltrated by the enemy, because that is a big problem. But anyway, there, this woman that I just encountered yesterday has a story to tell. And she needs to tell her story. And I'm not sure to what extent she has already told her story. But she is from the Northwest Territories, but she's now in this area. She single-handedly did some things. Like, for example, there was a road closure that was in effect for already over a year, or for about a year. At this moment, I don't know what the reason was for the road closure. It wasn't just recent due to the fires, because this was in effect for over a year. And then she decided enough is enough. And she just calmly and in bright daylight removed all the cones from the barricade in front of those who were there, the work crews, whatever. I don't know who was there, but she just did this. And then she drove. And she drove slowly forward and continued driving and did not stop until she reached her destination. Now, there was some aftermath. There were, you know, charges, and she went through the court system. And then in the court, you know, she was told she has to wear a mask. She did not wear a mask. There is this little known thing called the duty to accommodate. I do not know if you have such a thing in the United States. They certainly don't teach us this in grade school or anywhere else for that matter. It's something that is quite obscure, but this duty to accommodate exists. So what she did, she said, she actually, I think, went through the sergeant beforehand, wrote a letter, it was in writing, that she needed to be accommodated on the basis of her religious freedoms. And now she considers herself a Christian, but not belonging to any specific church. But you don't actually need to be of any particular religion. You could just say that you need to be accommodated because your religious beliefs forbid you from wearing a mask. Now, this is one example. It could be other accommodations, but it is likely that these mask mandates are coming back. We've been hearing rumors about that. We all need to resist this. And she was the only one in the courtroom that was there without a mask, because this actually went through. At first, you know, some lawyer jumped up and down, but then the judge, she was very good with her, she articulated how it was, and she also did not accept the charter. Now, we have this Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada. She did not accept that as the, what would you call it, like the guiding parameters or whatever in her trial. She said, no, I am not going to do that. And then there was again some lawyer in the gallery there that jumped up and down about that, and she explained it very clearly, and I cannot repeat all that because I don't have the words to do that. I'm not as well informed as she was about these matters, but basically the judge then said, no, you can. Oh, a part of it was representing herself. She was representing herself, and she was not using a charter. And this lawyer didn't like that one bit, but she articulated why she is representing herself and why she has the freedom to do so. And this thing about freedoms, rights and freedoms, it's very, very interesting. But these freedoms, you know, we have all kinds of freedoms. Those are spelled out in the charter. But that charter is as soon as you go with the charter, like if you let that be your I don't know, your document that you're using to fight your case on in the Canadian court, as soon as you do that, you are consenting to be in their world, their system. She articulated all this very, very well, and I'm not doing a very good job at it, but that's in a nutshell. It's in a nutshell what happened, and all her the charges against her were eventually withdrawn, all of it. Wow. She, you know, because she had actually unblockaded a blockaded road that had been blockaded. It was blocked for a year. And anyway, there was more to her story. She was talking for probably an hour and a half, and I'm just wrapping this into, you know, 5 minutes or so. But it was incredibly interesting. And I think that we can learn some things. And, you know, and your system is I'm sure it's slightly different, but this duty to accommodate, maybe there's something equivalent that nobody has the right, whether it's a government institution or a store owner or anything like that, to override your religious freedom. And if that religious freedom forbids you from wearing a mask, nobody can make you wear a mask. Nobody. Over to you, Eddie.
You know what? You put a lot out there. I've got to comment a lot of comment on the last thing you said. No one has a duty to lay something on you like that. You know, what's his name? Payne, the fellow who wrote Common Sense. I could have told you his name.
I can't remember now, but I
can't remember. Familiar. Yeah. Anyway, Jonathan Payne, whatever it is, he wrote a book called Common Sense. I remember one of the things he said was that anytime you want to figure out if the so-called government is committing a crime against you, he said, just figure out if they were doing something to you that an individual, one individual citizen could not do without breaking the law. For instance, if they're coming in, and he gave one example, is coming in and taxing your business, taxing your home. He said, if an individual cannot come and steal money from you with gun, violently, nonviolently, if an individual cannot do that, then the government, the so-called government, cannot do that. I don't want to say legally, but I'll say righteously. They talk about legal and lawful. It'd be unlawful. And you mentioned something else. That lady didn't go by the documents in the Canadian Constitution, whatever it is, because evidently if she did it, she would have been sucked in, and she would have been the word de facto agreeing that, that the Constitution consenting. Was her master. There you go.
Consenting to their world, their document.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And here in this country here, I don't know a lot about them. They have what they call sovereign citizens. And they claim, and I think that's the way I've been saying here, we do not recognize the Constitution. We do not recognize the United States government. We don't give the United States government authority over us, because we recognize them for what they are. They're an international banking Jewish cabal, and they are a criminal cabal. And therefore, we're not going to obey what they say. We're going to resist them with every cell in our body. I'd like to go back to something else you said too. Speaking of leaderless revolutions, that's brilliant. You know, in every organization we have, for instance, if you look at the Proud Boys, their head honcho was just arrested. He's doing 22 years in prison for the January 6th resurrection in Washington, D.C. He was not even there. People, I hear the music again. Go to our last break. As soon as we come back, I will go ahead and comment on what Sister Braveheart said. I have a lot of notes I took while she was speaking. We'll be right back. Hang on, folks.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with managed IT services.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, for any to the last segment of this hour, Sister Braveheart laid out a lot out there. I'm just going to briefly comment. One of the most brilliant things I think we could do is to have a leaderless resistance, better yet, a leaderless revolution. Because you know what? We're talking about the head honcho of the Proud Boys doing 22 years for the January 6th insurrection in Washington, D.C., and he wasn't even there. I think he was under arrest in Baltimore, the last I heard. But can you believe that? He wasn't even friggin' there. They arrested him 22 years. Stuart Rhodes, who I have no love for, but he's doing like 18 years. See, these were both people. They were head honchos. They were high up in organizations. So, see, they come in, and they cut the head off the snake of the organization, like Stuart Rhodes and this other fellow who's the Proud Boys. Well, the organization suffers greatly. Well, if you have like 100,000 people with no name, you don't even know who the hell they are. But that's brilliant too, because they can, even though they don't have a central command, you have thousands of people that are one man command post. They can, there is possible that there can be communication because we have all this modern communication stuff that can. But I'll tell you something else. One man cannot. How are you going to infiltrate one man? It's going to be a lot harder to infiltrate one man. And you can have like our feral animal buddies do here in Memphis and elsewhere, large cities. They have what they call flash mob. They'll go in and they'll attack shopping centers, filthy rich jewelry stores, and they'll go in and bust out glass liquor stores and steal millions of dollars worth of stuff. I'm not saying that we do that. I'm saying we can have communication and say, have a massive flash mob blocking interstates, handing out pamphlets to our people, getting the message across with bullhorns, spreading the message. And you know what? You're there 10 minutes, bam, you just disappear. You just vanish like vapor. Everybody goes in their own direction, on foot, on bicycle, down alleys. You don't even have to go down the main streets. You go back into the bush like the VC did in Vietnam. One minute you're there, get a machine gun, and the next minute you're gone. excuse me. You hit and run. And which some of these places I would say hit and run, take these our leaflets and put them on these Jew schools. Put some of them on Army induction stations, National Guard stations. Spread the message to these little airheads. That's the thing. And before I go back to Sister Monica, if I can pull it back up, I'm going to go to this thing and read. I've been struggling to try to get it up. And because my computer's not up, but we have this thing, and I'm going to hurry this up because I need to get Sister Monica back in. They have these Goyim flyers. I tried to print them off at Federal Express yesterday with no luck. I could not get it done. I'm going to have to figure out another way to get them, or maybe even order some of them from Mike Weaver. But one of them, I'm going to read this one right here. This is the most important one. In fact, Sister Braveheart mentioned it just a minute ago. media, the media, in the TV, the radio, the newspapers, and I also consider the media the school, the fool system with the teachers preaching to these little airheads every single day. Here's the thing. Every single aspect of the media is Jewish. 96% of all, says over here, six Jewish corporations own 96% of all the media. There's too many here that even mention you have Tom Rothman, CEO of Sony Pictures, Bob Barkash, CEO Paramount Global, Charlie Collier, CEO Fox, that wonderful conservative station newscaster, Fox, Brian Roberts, CEO Comcast, David, I can't pronounce his name, CEO of Discovery, own Bob Iger, CEO of Walt Disney, these places where people take their children down here to feed them to these degenerates, Walt Disney, and it goes on and on. This is about Paramount. Like I mentioned, Fox, CBS Studios, Telstar, it goes on and on and on. But that has to be, those are the flyers, people. I'm going to wrap this up. Those are one of the flyers that caused his majesty, the rabbi, Governor DeSantis, to fly to Israel to have signed into the law. You can't put these pamphlets out there, people. It's not because it's hate. It's not because it's a lie. The reason it is against the law is because it is not a lie. It is the truth. And these stinking Jews that control everything in this country, they don't want you to know the truth. So anyway, Sister Monica, I'll go back to you before I got to get a drink of water. Yeah, I done ran in my voice.
You're right. If it was lies, they wouldn't need to make it illegal. They could just present evidence that would show clearly that, oh, that's just a bunch of nonsense. These are just lies. But they're not lies. That's exactly the point. That's why they have to criminalize these words and whatnot. Anyway, just to go back to this point about leaderless resistance, it's not like we wouldn't be doing better and doing very well, perhaps, with a great leader. I mean, I would say that, you know, one of the greatest leaders of all time is the man who is the most vilified of all time in this upside-down world, and that would be Adolf Hitler, the Führer.
Yes,
that means
yes.
Leader. That means leader in German, and that was a very, well, I don't need to even go into that right now. I think most of the listeners do understand it's been all twisted. The truth has been all twisted into lies about him. Honestly, all my life until relatively recently, like the, you know, last, 10 years or so, that I also believed he was just, you know, the most evil man that walked the face of this earth, because that's just what was taught about him. But he really was one of the greatest, and that was a great leader. So when we talk about leaderless resistance, it doesn't mean that that's our be-all, end-all goal. But in the absence of a great leader right now, we need to do leaderless resistance. And this woman who I have been talking about, there's something else she did. This was leaderless resistance. She went and sat in front of the school when they were going in to do vaccinations on the children without even, you know, asking the parents. And this was happening. And she talked to every single one of the kids that was filing into the school about Kool-Aid and drinking the Kool-Aid. And she said, you know, if she talked about Jonestown and the Kool-Aid there. Anyway, I don't remember the details of how she put it to them, but basically she took a strong stand with them. She made those kids think. She had some juice boxes there kind of as a prop, you could say, and gave them these juice boxes, but talked about this Kool-Aid.
Bless her heart.
Not to drink the Kool-Aid, and was very, very strong in her message to them. Very strong. Anyway, later, there were quite a few parents who thanked her, and they thanked her for saving lives, and she probably saved very many lives. I do believe that the uptake on the vaccine in that area was very low. So that was great leaderless resistance right there, you see. So, okay, so there are things that you can do, we can do. And in that doing that, you are actually teaching people, you're sharing information, you're taking a role of, you're showing confidence, you're showing that you can think, other people will follow suit. You know, we do tend to, I don't know, people go with the pack, I guess you could say. And
yes, they do.
Right now people are under such a spell and such masses that sometimes it seems so hopeless. But I do believe that there is such a huge groundswell of awakening. And I know that you and Rand talked about that in the first hour too, but, and like Rand said, we don't just need awakening, we need action. But this all goes hand in hand. You can't really take action if you're still under the spell. So you do need the awakening for the action to take place. Yeah.
Yes.
So back to you.
Yes, it takes, just a handful of people. You will get squashed and taken down. And I'm not going to say we got squashed at Charlottesville, but we were outnumbered. It was pathetic how the people at Charlottesville were outnumbered there. And that was just that wasn't even the tip of the iceberg of the outnumbering. Later on, when the League of the South got reeled back into the judicial system in Virginia, quoting Michael Tubbs, one of our brothers, he was there. He said, "You couldn't throw a stale bagel in that courtroom without hitting a stinking Jew." And they were there, you know. And I'll go back and reiterate some of the stuff we had last couple of shows. They had the so-called Heafy report. This I'm going over this because people's memories are like mine. My memory's short. They need to be refreshed. Their memory. They had the Heafy report that the government in Charlottesville, they hired their own person, their own lawyer. He was a well-established lawyer from a high-powered law firm, if I'm not mistaken. And he came out, and he was a what you consider a socialist, a leftist. But evidently, he still has some honesty about him, some integrity. But he came out, and he said the whole cause of what happened, the breakdown in society, in the riot in Charlottesville could be laid directly at the government, at the police chief, and the mayor. It was right there at their fault. But you know what? They wouldn't allow that Heafy report, even though the government, even though they hired this fellow to do the report, to investigate it, they wouldn't let that be admitted into the courtroom. Before I run out of time, because we're almost out of time, I'd like to, I know I'm skipping around. Get these pamphlets, people. If you'll get in touch with me, I'll tell you how to get these pamphlets. We may have to order them from Mike Weaver. Here's another one I'm reading to you quickly. Every single aspect of the COVID agenda that Sister Monica just talked about is Jewish. Every single one of them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 members of the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, the director, the deputy director, the chief of staff, the chief medical officer, the CDC director of the Washington, D.C. office. They're all Jews. The COVID czar, Jewish. The COVID senior advisor, Jewish. The head of Pfizer sits on the CDC board, CDC. Moderna, BlackRock, they're all Jewish organizations, all run the Perelman School of Medicine. The chief scientist, every damn one of them, they're all part of this COVID agenda. It's the Judeo COVID agenda.
Eddie,
about all I can get. Go ahead. I was going to ask you, take us out, Sister Monica.
Isn't that just a coincidence or something that these happen to be Jewish? Come on.
It's just a coincidence. Yes, because they're so smart and so much better than we are, and they're just looking out for own benefit. Never mind that the people have taken these so-called jabs, that they're dying. We have 14, 15-year-olds dying in mass from heart attacks, from blocked arteries. They're having, from seizures. They're dying like flies. That's never happened. But Sister Monica, we are almost out of time for this hour. Why don't you take us out? God, I love you so much. I'm so glad you came in here. Well, there's the music.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much. I do hear the music too, but I just always enjoy coming on this show with you, Eddie. So enjoy the third hour. I know it'll be great with Nancy.
You fire us up. I really enjoyed having you on. Sorry, my voice started hacking out at the end. Well, God bless. Dear Blood River Radio family, hang on. We're transitioning to the last hour, to the third hour. We're going to bring on the bitter ender, and we're going to bring on my big sister, Nancy. So hang on, folks. We'll be right back.